Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather this morning on this special Sunday, this Resurrection of the Lord Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to let you all know that we are glad that you are here. And if you are visiting with us this morning, please take the time to fill out the card in the pew in front of you. Place it in the collection plate as it goes around so that we can have an opportunity to know that you are here this morning. This is a special morning. This is the time that we celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ overcoming the forces and powers of death because God has raised him from the dead. And so we give thanks for all of those who are able to be with us this morning on this special Sunday.
The first lesson is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. And Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does not what is right is acceptable to him. You know the word which he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. The word which was proclaimed throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 24th chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 12. So let us listen to God's word for us. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise?' And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what this day is about. The celebration of Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. But sometimes, let's face it, it's hard for some people to believe. But we are here this morning because we believe it. We are here this morning because we proclaim it. We are here this morning because it is true. Every time I read this passage from Luke's gospel, I always think of something my mother always used to say to me and to my siblings. She'd say it went in one ear and out the other. I used to hear that all the time growing up. My mother would remind us of something that she had told us to do, but we left undone. And she would say, I don't know why I waste my time telling you something because it goes in one ear and out the other. I have some preacher friends that tell me they have the same experience. I don't have that experience, but some of my preacher friends tell me that whenever they preach, they feel that what they're saying goes in one ear and out the other. And so it's comforting for us preachers to know that Jesus apparently had the same experience. Apparently, Jesus told his disciples a lot of things that didn't register very far, things that they didn't readily remember. And one of the things Jesus told them was that he was going to suffer and die and be raised on the third day. That's what Jesus tells them way back in the 9th chapter of Luke's gospel. Jesus tells his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer and die. But he tells them that he's going to be raised on the third day. And you would think that that would have been something they remembered. You would think that that would be something that was deeply etched in their memory. But apparently it wasn't. Apparently it went in one ear and out the other, because on the first day of the week, the first day of the new creation, the women go to the tomb. And they go not looking for resurrection, but they go there looking for death. They go there expecting death. Indeed, they go there ready and prepared to anoint death. And when they find that the tomb is empty, it doesn't jog their memory at all. They don't say, "Hallelujah! Remember what Jesus told us? Don't you remember how Jesus told us that he was going to be crucified, but that he was going to be raised from the dead? Jesus is risen from the dead." They don't say that. No, what we are told is that they are perplexed and confused. We can imagine them saying each other, "Where's the body? What have they done with Jesus's his body? I know this is the tomb. I know this is the place where he was laid, but where's the body?" It's the men with the dazzling clothing, presumably angels, who jogs their memory. Two men appear and they say, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, because he is risen." Don't you all remember that? You can't remember what he told you? And then the women remember. It jogs their memory. They finally remember. But it had gone in one ear and out the other. Of course, the men are no better. We could blame that on the women, but the men are no better. Men, of course, are supposed to be on top of things. Men are supposed to be able to connect all the dots and make sense of the world. But when the women go and tell the men the good news, the men don't say, "Hallelujah, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, just like he told us." No, we are told that the men do not believe. They think it's just an idle tale. The Greek word used there for idle tale is the word liros, and it's where we get our English word delirious, and that's what the men are saying. There go these delirious women again. These delirious women, overcome with their grief. These delirious women, unable to accept reality. Those delirious women, that's why we can't trust them in leadership positions. That's why we got to purge them from leadership positions. These delirious women, they can't accept the fact that Jesus is dead, and when you're dead, you're dead. But it was no idle tale. The women are not delirious. Jesus, who was crucified, dead, and buried, really is risen from the dead, just as he had told them that he would be. But apparently it went in one ear and out the other. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. I'm not picking on the Lord's earlier followers. I'm not picking on the women. I'm not picking on the men. I totally understand. The promise of resurrection is so fantastic, so out of the ordinary, that I'm sure that when Jesus first told them that he would be resurrected from the dead, they just couldn't process what he was saying to them. They just dismissed it. It's one thing, of course, for him to tell them that he was going to suffer and die. But then for him to tell them that he would be raised from the dead, they just couldn't hear that. They let it go in one ear and out the other. But that's the way the power of death works. Death has such a powerful hold over our hearts and our imaginations that we can't see or hear any possibilities beyond the powers of death. We believe in death. We believe that death has the last word. So when the women go to the tomb on that first Easter morning, that's what they're looking for. They are looking for death. They are expecting death. They are planning to anoint death. But then their death-conditioned reality is interrupted by the shocking good news. He's not here. He is risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Why are you here among the tombs? Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I said before that Easter is my favorite time in the liturgical year. It used to be Christmas, but now, as I've gotten older, I've come to appreciate Lent and Easter, and Easter has come to be my favorite time of the year. I'm sure some of it has a lot to do with the time of year, the springtime, after the cold darkness of winter. The weather getting nicer, all the trees and flowers are starting to bloom. There's a wonderful kaleidoscope of pastel colors everywhere. I was walking near the front of the church yesterday evening, and there was a young woman there on our church grounds, on the front grounds, and she had a little dog with her and a bunny rabbit, and it was a perfect picture of Easter. I wanted to take the picture, but I didn't want her to think I was a creepy old man. But Easter is not about blooming flowers. It's not about warmer weather. It's not about colors or the time of the year. Easter is about hope. Resurrection hope. It's about God's commitment to make all things new. And I emphasize all, because we American Christians are somewhat hardwired to see everything through our individualistic lens. We often think of Easter as individual hope, the promise of me going to heaven when I die. But the promise of Easter is way more than that. The promise of Easter is the promise that our Good Friday reality of death and sickness and disease and injustice and war and cruelty will not have the last word, because the last word belongs to God, who has raised Jesus from the dead. And what God has done for Jesus, God promises to do for all of us, indeed for the whole world, and that is to transform all things. It is to make all things new. And indeed, all of us who are in Christ are already a part of the new creation. We've already been raised to the newness of life. But that's what makes Easter so hard to believe for some people. That's what makes it so unsettling, because it means a changed world, a transformed world, a world that is no longer characterized by the power of death. And we don't know what to do with the world that is no longer characterized by the power of death. Death has so conditioned the way we see things that we come to accept it. We come to let it speak to us and to define the parameters in which we live. But we're reminded this morning that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And therefore, it's a whole new world. Jesus is the first fruits of the new creation. And it means there's new possibilities in the midst of our world. It's important to point out that nobody saw the resurrected Lord at this point in the story. The women never see the resurrected Lord. They just see the empty tomb. And they hear what the angels have to say. The men don't see the resurrected Lord. They just hear the proclamation of the women. No one has seen the resurrected Lord as of yet. In Luke's narrative, Jesus will eventually present himself to his disciples. He'll present himself to two of them as they are walking home on their way to Emmaus. He will present himself to the 11 as they are locked away behind closed doors. But at this time, no one has seen. All there are signs and proclamation. And the signs are important because that's all we have today, signs and the proclamation. I always find myself looking for signs of Easter, looking for people who are living in Easter hope. One of the signs that has made itself manifest to me this year is summed up in a picture, Facebook post I saw last Sunday. It was from a pastor living in the Middle East, a Palestinian pastor. And he posted a picture of a congregation on Palm Sunday with children. Could have been children who were part of any church, any congregation. But the children were all dressed up and they were waving palm branches and they were making crosses out of the palm branches. And I thought to myself, even here in Gaza, a place that has been totally destroyed, there are people living in hope, resurrection hope. The picture was even more significant given the fact that a bomb had just hit the Anglican-run hospital right near to the Greek Orthodox Church where the people were meeting, and yet the children were there and the people were there and the congregation was there in the midst of all of that destruction, and they were saying that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Our situation may say that there's little hope. The world may not care very much, and there may not be hope coming from the world, but we know that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so there's hope. There's hope even for us and hope for the whole world. We too this morning are gathered here as a sign, as an Easter sign. This congregation, First Presbyterian Church of Olney, I know we're not very big, but Easter was never overbearing. It was always quiet and underplayed. Not that many people were aware of what was going on that first Easter. But here we are this morning, a little church with people from all parts of the world, all over the world, people of various persuasions. But here we are gathered together here in this place in a world that is so divided, in a world that is so polarized. But we are here this morning to proclaim the stunning good news that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that's important, again, because again, that's all we have are the signs and the proclamation. We hear that every year. We proclaim that every year, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And yet I have to confess this morning that sometimes I, even after all the years that I have heard that and proclaimed that, I let it go in one ear and out the other. Whenever I allow myself to be dominated by my fears and my angers, the good news of the resurrection goes in one ear and out the other. Whenever I fail to forgive those who have caused me pain or who have hurt me in some way, the good news of the resurrection is gone in one ear and out the other. Whenever I believe that one's worth is determined by money and power or status or whatever, the power of the resurrection is gone in one ear and out the other. Whenever I capitulate to the categories of our world, the racial categories, the ethnic categories, or whatever it might be, all the things that divide us, whenever I capitulate and live in to that and accept that, one ear and out the other. Whenever I'm tempted to give up on people and see people as hopeless, the resurrection goes in one ear and out the other. Whenever I'm looking for death and expecting death, whenever I can't see past the possibilities of death in our world, the good news of the resurrection has gone in one ear and out the other. But it's for all of us that we are called to hear the stunning good news of this day, the stunning good news of Easter. Why are you searching for the living among the dead? Why are you walking among these tombs? Jesus has risen from the dead. Don't you remember? Don't you remember the story, the good news of the story? Do you remember? Jesus Christ is risen. And so there's new possibilities in the world. Don't accept the world the way it is. Don't accept the wars and the rumors of wars, because Christ is risen. Don't accept the way some people treat other people, because Christ is risen. Don't accept the selfishness of the world. Don't accept the selfishness in your own heart, because Jesus Christ is risen. Don't let anybody tell you that something isn't possible, because that's just the way the human beings are, and it's just the way that human nature is. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new creation. It's a whole new possibility. A whole new possibility, friends, because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. You believe that? I can't hear you. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Amen. Jesus Christ has indeed risen from the dead. And that is the source of our hope. That is the source of our gladness. That is the source of our joy. That is what you and I are called to proclaim in a world that seems dominated by the forces and powers of death. Jesus Christ has risen indeed. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning for your life-giving spirit. Your life-giving spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Your life giving spirit that you have blown into our own hearts. Help us on this day to proclaim the resurrected life the resurrected promise. Help us to proclaim that good news in our world, a world that so desperately needs to hear and to see and to experience the truth of the resurrection. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us to live as the new creation people that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.